This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. My gal called, got to tell her that I'm out. 'Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay.
Hey, a little bit of Fats Domino. Blue Monday. Hope it's not a blue Monday for you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy, who is back, Big Ed Davis. We thank you for joining us. It is Monday. Not Blue Monday, but Monday, May 15th, halfway through the month already. In a few minutes, George Beebe of the Quincy Institute is going to be here. We are going to talk about the Ukraine war and whether either Joe Biden or Donald Trump can bring about its conclusion. Are they on the right path, either one of them, with what they've been talking about regarding Ukraine? And the end of Title 42 has not really brought the stampede of illegal immigrants across the southern border like we thought it might occur, at least not just yet. So we're going to take a look at that as well. And what some are calling the breathtaking corruption of the Biden family is slowly being unraveled. We are going to examine it in the show a little bit later on. And in our ultimate top 10, we have a good one, we think. If you're a movie buff in particular, the top 10 greatest movie quotes, movie lines of all time. Do you think you know what they might be? So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Well, so Title 42 came to a conclusion last week, and a group of 15 migrants tried to cross in a shallow Green River bank, but they were turned away, which has been a little bit of an example of what is going on since the end of Title 42. The governor of Texas has instructed National Guard and troops to set up points where they are stopping these people. They've got barbed wire that they're rolling out as well. U.S. authorities have been telling asylum seekers aiming to enter, including Venezuelans, Cubans, Mexicans, Colombians, that they needed appointments via a government app called CPB1. So I guess most of these illegals have these have their little cell phones. They can dial into the app, apparently. New regulations presume most migrants are ineligible for asylum if they've gone through other countries first without seeking protection at those countries, or if they fail to use legal pathways. So I guess a lot of these migrants are starting to get the message that they're actually becoming a little bit tougher right now. Not quite the surge that we expected. Very interesting.
Well, I never expected an all-out surge as soon as Title 42 is up. If you think about it, do you think we, whatever resources we had, were on the border ready at that time? As soon as 42 ran out, do you think we were ready?
No.
Well, no, whatever we had is on the border, correct?
Oh, I guess. I don't
okay?
know.
Okay, I mean, if you got 50 guys, all 50 are ready. You don't rush them when the 50 are there. You wait a couple of days or a week or a month. When it relaxes a little bit, that's when you come across.
Yeah. So do you think that's what's going to happen?
I do. I believe that they're ready, but they're not going to all come at once.
Yeah. No, that may be. The way they were talking, you know, as soon as Title 42 ended, it was Katie barred the door, and they were just going to be stampeding across.
Look at the photos. I mean, look at the garbage that those people are. I mean, the tents, the tarps, and the garbage that they're leaving.
Yeah, who's on cleaning the other side of the water.
And by the way, you have to be political politically correct when you're talking about barbed wire. It's now called razor wire.
Razor wire.
Barbed wire is for cattle.
This is razor wire. Yeah. I don't know. Razor wire sounds worse.
Get a shave and everything.
Speaking about the migrants, a busload of them from Texas were unloaded at the Naval Observatory in Washington, D.C. Ed, do you, here's a political question. Do you know who lives in the Naval Observatory in Washington?
The head naval officer?
Well, could be that. The vice president. Would you believe that that's where the vice president's home is? In the Naval Observatory.
As long as it's not anywhere near the border.
It's in the Naval Observatory in D.C.
Got it.
And a bunch of migrants were dropped off there from Texas, where Vice President Kamala Harris is located. It's called Number One Observatory Circle, by the way. They showed videos of migrants getting off the bus there and grabbing their belongings. I'm sure that Kamala was there with an open door welcoming them. This is not the first time that Texas, under Governor Greg Abbott, has sent a busload of immigrants over to the vice president's house.
Well, you think when they're dropped off, they don't look like they're, you know, famished or anything. Like, look, I mean, they are. These people dropped off with new clothes.
Yeah, they probably dressed better than me, and they got their little
plastic bags.
They got their plastic bags and, yeah, sunglasses.
Yeah, and phones.
Yeah.
A little bit of cash.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
They don't look that bad off. But the governor has began sending migrants from border cities in Texas to the nation's capital starting in April of last year to pressure the administration to act on immigration enforcement. Kind of like this Texas governor, you know? I think he's trying to do the right thing.
Sure, it's going to bust him out of his state. Why should he take them?
Exactly.
If you think it's okay, we'll send them to your state.
By the way, he said there will be more coming of the buses.
And planes.
Yeah. There will be more, he said, going to New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, and other places across the country. All the sanctuary cities. Where presumably, I guess, they'll be welcomed. The governor also provided the latest stats from what's called Operation Lone Star, saying Texas was doing what no other state has done before to protect communities as the president ends Title 42. Those stats suggest there were 373,000 apprehensions, 28,000 criminal arrests. Listen to this, 402 million lethal fentanyl doses seized. Seized. And over 17,600 migrants bussed to sanctuary cities.
He's doing his job there. All these migrants that are being arrested, I don't know if they're called migrants.
Well, it sounds better than illegals, that's what.
Yeah, I know, Obama changed that. Undocumented workers is what he prefers.
Yeah, that's hard to say.
These ones that are being arrested, where are they going? Are they going into our jails and filling up all our jails?
They're supposed to be. Are they just turning them around
and sending them back, and then they try another time?
Yeah, I mean, if they're arresting all of these people, first of all, I don't think they're all being turned back crossing over the border again.
That one guy that just killed four people was in the.
He's in jail.
But he's here illegal, and he was deported four times.
Yeah, four or five times. Yeah, yeah. Oh no, it's terrible. Yeah, this is what happens when you just have open borders. You don't know what's coming. You don't know what's coming. And, you know, that's inevitable. It's absolutely inevitable. All right, let's do this. We are going to take our break. When we come back, George Beebe will be here. We're going to talk about whether Biden or Trump has the solution for the war in Ukraine.
Is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Caregivers find the support they need on Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver. Heard every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., Linda and her caring and knowledgeable guests will bring you education, information, and resources, as well as a shoulder for caregivers. That's Connecting Caregivers Radio with Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregiver, where you can find help and hope every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Ain't it good
to... This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. Delighted to have back George Beebe, who is, he's got a great pedigree. He's the former chief Russia analyst for the CIA. He's former advisor on Russia to Vice President Dick Cheney. And currently, he's director of Grand Strategy at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, and he's here to talk with us a little bit about the ongoing Ukraine war and what either Joe Biden or former President Donald Trump is going to do about it or is doing about it. George, welcome back.
Thank you.
Yeah, indeed. Wednesday of last week, this town hall with Donald Trump. And the Donald said that if he becomes president again, he would end the war in 24 hours. Maybe it's kind of like what he was saying, that he would force Mexico to pay for the wall. Is that the same kind of brouhaha that he's saying?
Well, you know, President Trump tends to make these grandiose claims, and oftentimes life is a little more complicated than that. But I think his instincts in this case in Ukraine are right. I think he realizes that this is not a war that either side is going to be able to win outright. In the end, this is going to have to be ended at the negotiating table, and the sooner the better. He understands this. Now, whether he could end the war within 24 hours or not, I'm quite doubtful about. But I do think his instincts are correct.
Yes. Now, he's not really taking a side on this. He's been walking a delicate line. I remember when he was president, he would talk about how he got along with Putin, who's the president in Russia. So he's not saying, I want the Ukrainians to win the war. Now, Biden, on the other hand, has, kind of cast his lot with Ukraine, right?
Well, quite clearly, he has identified U.S. interests and Ukrainian interests as more or less coterminous, and he's described this as a war of fighting for democracy against autocracy. So he's drawn some very, very sharp distinctions here. I think Trump, on the other hand, is saying, look, what's most important here is American national interests. How does this affect American security? How does it affect America's own prosperity? What's in the interests of ordinary Americans in all of this? And I think his perspective on this war is much different than Biden's.
So if he became president again, do you think that he would place a phone call to Putin and maybe to Zelensky, who is the head of Ukraine, and said, look, guys, let's get together. I'll join you. Let's sit down and talk. Do you think he's going to figure out, plan something like that?
Well, I dearly hope that this war is resolved long before our next president is inaugurated.
That's true.
But assuming that it is not, then that probably means very bad things have happened in the interim. So I would expect whoever our next president is to try to make a much more concerted effort to end this conflict, because this is something that's bad for everyone.
Yeah, it is.
Including for Americans.
If America stays out of this thing, George, do you see the Russians eventually taking back or taking over Ukraine, or is it going to be just an ongoing, almost like a Korean situation, you know, where there's no clear winner?
Well, I very much doubt that the Russians are capable of taking over all of Ukraine. They tried to do that very early in this war. They tried to seize the capital, Kiev, put a puppet government in place there, and they failed quite spectacularly. And they've had to regroup and refocus on simply trying to control portions of eastern and southern Ukraine that they claim are part of Russia, but they don't yet occupy militarily. And they've clearly had their hands full doing even that. So I doubt that the Russians can do much more than perhaps control what they claim is Russian territory. We'll see.
Yeah, indeed. We're talking with George Beebe. He is the former chief Russia analyst for the CIA and a former advisor on Russia to Dick Cheney, our vice president at the time. He's currently director of grand strategy at the Quincy Institute. George, what about what other countries could possibly bring? Are there any other countries that are taking any kind of an active role in trying to bring this war to an end?
Well, the big news there is that China has inserted itself into this process of trying to settle the war in quite a dramatic way. They're sending an envoy to Ukraine, to Russia, to Europe to talk about how this war might be ended next week. I think the United States, although we initially tried to throw cold water on this effort, more recently we've pivoted and said, you know, we welcome China taking a shot at this. Now, the real question is, are we willing to do more than let the Chinese, try and fail on their own to bring this war to an end? Because unless the United States is actually willing to support a compromise, including a compromise on whether Ukraine's going to be part of NATO or not, then I don't think this war is going to be ended. So this is really going to require not just the Chinese, who I think could help deliver Russia on this, they've got a lot of leverage there, and the United States to pull the oars in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
Open question whether that's going to happen.
Yeah, do you remember Biden was kind of criticized? I think he said something about we'll continue to support the Ukraine effort for as long as it takes, or something to that effect. As in, we'll just keep throwing money into it, as long as this thing is going on. And I think a lot of people reacted rather negatively to that.
Well, we haven't really defined what our goals are. You know, as long as it takes to do what is the question.
Yeah.
If we think that the goal is that the Ukrainians are going to drive Russian military forces off of all Ukrainian territory, including out of Crimea, then I think that's a fantasy. The Russians will escalate the war before they allow that to happen, and they've got an awful lot of ways they could escalate it. If our goal is to support a negotiated settlement, then I think now is the time to be pushing toward that, preparing the ground for an eventual settlement.
Yeah. What about the internal Russian pressure on Putin? Putin and the boys, I think, fully expected that, you know, were going to wander in there and, you know, Ukraine was going to surrender, or it was going to be an easy takeover. It certainly has been anything but that. And now there's all kinds of pressure inside of Russia for Putin to get this thing resolved.
Well, yeah. I think Putin clearly did not expect this to be as difficult an operation as it has proved to be. And he's getting a lot of criticism from nationalist hardliners in Russia, who think that he simply has not been willing to use all of Russia's military capability on the ground. So they're thinking he's weak and incompetent and not really willing to do what it takes to win. So he is under pressure, but not from people that are would regard as liberals or pro-Western factions in Russia. He's under pressure from the hardliners, so it's a difficult situation for him.
Yeah. We're talking with George Beebe. Again, he is a former analyst for the CIA when it comes to Russia, among other things, and now working at the Quincy Institute. So, George, if you were president, What would you do? I mean, would you call a meeting of you know, Putin and Zelensky and yourself, or bring some other countries into the fold, or how would you go about trying to get this thing over with?
Well, I think at this point the Chinese probably are the best bet for bringing the sides toward a compromise. And one of the things that is a problem is that the Russians have completely lost any trust in Washington. They think that Washington is really trying to surround Russia through expanding the NATO alliance and ultimately to dismantle it and to overthrow the Putin government. So they don't trust a thing that we say right now. So we might have to work through the Chinese and signal our willingness to find a compromise through them in order to get the Russians to realize that we have some good faith in all of them.
Yeah, but A, that'll make us look rather weak. B, what, you know, we're China, you know, China's not, I mean, can we trust China to bring some sort of civility to the end of this war? Or aren't they more or less in Russia's corner? Maybe they want to see Russia, you know, take a big chunk of Ukraine back.
Well, I don't think they do. They clearly don't want the Russians to lose, and I think they won't allow the Russians to lose, which means that their involvement in this more or less requires that there be a compromise settlement. But on the other hand, they don't really like the idea of Russia carving up Ukraine and taking parts of Ukrainian territory. And the reason is simple. They experienced what they regard as Western encroachment on Chinese sovereignty for, you know, a long, long time, a very painful chapter in China's history. And losing Taiwan, from their point of view, was an infringement on China's territorial integrity and sovereignty. So they see an analogy there that, you know, doesn't make them comfortable when it comes to thinking about their own problem in Taiwan. So I think that means they want to see this war settled. They want to preserve a strong relationship with Europe, which is economically important to them. And they don't want to see this escalate into a nuclear conflict, which would pose big problems for them as well. Mm-hmm. So I think they have some very pragmatic reasons for wanting to see this war ended.
You may be looking on the sunny side of their philosophy, because they might also look at it from Russia's standpoint. Russia figures that the Ukraine is actually a part of Russia, and China, mainland China, thinks that Taiwan is a part of mainland China, and maybe they feel that that Putin deserves to get the Ukraine back just as much as they deserve to get back Taiwan.
Well, there could be some Chinese that feel that way. I think on balance, though, they have for a long time recognized Ukraine's independence, its own sovereignty, and they have long had a very strong commercial relationship with Ukraine as well. That was an important trade partner for the Chinese. So it's a complicated issue for them.
Well, I hope you're right, and it would make sense, and maybe that's the answer. George, thank you so very much. Very interesting discussion. Maybe some people in Washington should start listening to you again.
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you, George. Appreciate you being with us. Look forward to talking with you again.
All right. Thank you.
All right, sir. George Beebe. Quincy is too interesting. He wants China to get in there and sit down with them. I wonder if that would work. Okay, let us take our break. When we come back, what some are calling breathtaking corruption in the Biden family is slowly being unraveled and revealed. We're going to take a look at it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hello there, Tampa Bay. This is former NFL and college football coach Jimmy Johnson. Listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can sure use the attention.
And this is former Major League Baseball player, Hall of Famer Wade Boggs. I also hope you listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They can darn sure use the money.
Hi there. This is marine wildlife artist and conservationist Dr. Guy Harvey. Please listen to the Kelly Kelly Show every Monday starting at 5 p.m. They need to feel worthy.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune into the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, thank you for being with us on a Monday here, Freedom Works. Getting warmer. Of course, in May here in Florida, it gets pretty doggone hot, let's be honest about it. Well, I see that Joe Biden, you know, this is that time of the year where graduation is occurring and commencement speeches are going on. So Biden goes over to Howard University this weekend and claims that white supremacy is the most dangerous terrorist threat in America. Nothing like throwing that kind of raw meat out to Howard University graduates. It's a black university. Critics are saying Biden used the opportunity to inflame racial tension by bringing that up. He addressed the graduates from the historical black college in Washington, speaking to them about the threats they face from the division among their own country. He provided a line on white supremacy being the main threat to the nation, including the graduates as they go forward with their lives after school. Well, that's great for bringing everybody together. Go out there and say that it's white supremacy that you got to worry about. I think he's wrong. I think he's out there to make and, you know, stir the pot and make things worse. At the beginning of his commencement address, Biden talked about America's battle with racism from the time of its inception, saying, quote, "We know American history has not always been a fairy tale. From the start, it's been a constant push and pull for more than 240 years between the best of us. The American ideal that we are all created equal, and the worst of us, a harsh reality that racism has long torn us apart." He says it's a battle that's never really over. He says, "But on the best days, enough of us have the guts and hearts to stand up for the best in us, to choose love over hate, unity over disunity, and progress over retreat." And then he zeroed in on the white supremacy issue. He said, "To stand against the poison of white supremacy, as I did in my inaugural address," he then called it the most dangerous terrorist threat in our homeland. Apparently, the audience erupted in applause. Nothing like going there and pandering. Nothing like going there
and pandering. Like you said, it's stirring the pot.
Terrible.
That's what they want to do.
Yeah, really is. All right. So, the thing that the mainstream media doesn't want you to hear much about. Greg Jarrett. Do you know who Greg Jarrett is? Ed? He is a Fox News contributor.
Yes.
And he's been on this whole Biden thing like fly on flypaper. This is what Greg Jarrett has to say recently about the whole Biden family situation and the money that they're taking in. The sheer magnitude of Biden family corruption uncovered by the House Oversight Committee can only be described as breathtaking. It's also deeply alarming. If the fruits of Chairman James Comer's investigation are what they appear to be, Joe Biden may have jeopardized our nation's security by selling out America for cold, hard cash. He goes on to say the documents show that over $10 million in foreign money flowed into more than 20 shell companies and LLCs that were created for the Biden's financial benefit. Much of it was shuffled around various accounts before it landed in the hands of nine members of the president's families. Those companies have no apparent business purpose other than to serve as a receptacle for hiding cash and laundering it. So,
isn't it amazing that a lonely DA in New York can tie Donald Trump to making payments from a former stripper, but you can't connect millions of dollars that are being washed and sent into the Biden family?
Of course.
Amazing that you can't do that.
Right. Supposedly this grand jury in Delaware has been on this for how many years now? We got the CIA and the Department of Justice. They had the computer. All of this is going on. It takes the House Republicans to bring this thing up and really get into, and you know, it's almost like they're going to force the CIA and the Department of Justice, or maybe that grand jury, to do something with Hunter Biden and this whole mess. The committee discovered that a stunning number of wire transfers happened when Biden served as vice president. Jared says it's no coincidence that the money sources came from the very countries over which the vice president exerted control over foreign policy. As an example, of course, the Ukraine. You remember when he proudly boasted that he got the Ukrainian government to fire the prosecutor that was looking into the Burisma energy company,
right,
a company at the time on which his son served.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, son of a bitch, they fired him because we were going to hold back like $1 billion or something like that in foreign aid to the Ukraine unless they fired him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, isn't that a quid pro quo right there?
It might explain.
He admitted it.
It might explain why he's giving Ukraine unlimited funds and weapons and whatever.
I'll tell you.
Rather keep them quiet.
A credible whistleblower informed the committee that an unclassified record depicts a criminal scheme involving then Vice President Biden and a foreign national in the exchange of money for policy decisions. Biden, by the way, also was insisting that his family never took any cash from China. But the committee's newly revealed records show that roughly $6 million was banked by the Bidens from just one of the copious deals with Beijing operatives who had close ties to the Chinese Communist Party and its intelligence apparatus. I mean, Biden was still claiming that he knows nothing about it. And of course, when he was running against Trump in 2016, he claimed that that whole issue of a computer that his son owned was a scam, that it was false, that it wasn't true. Remember that? So, at least you got to give these.
Well, in defense of Joe Biden, I believe when you ask him that question, whether he has any knowledge, and he says no, I believe him that. I mean, look, a little girl asked him what country he was last in, and he had no idea.
So all he has to say is, I forgot.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, well, maybe you're right. Oh, I forgot. He might have, but I forgot. By the way, who's Hunter? Is this somebody I know? Don't tell me it rings a bell. Hunter. Anyway, yeah, I mean, this is getting so stupid. Everybody knows that his family's involved in corruption. And then you hear from the other side, well, look at what the Trump family was doing. Well, no, I don't think so. What they were doing was legitimate.
Isn't it funny how whenever you bring up something that Biden's done, they try to compare Trump?
Oh, yeah.
But when you do that with them, it's not right.
Oh, no.
When you say, oh, you go after Trump, but you won't go after them. Oh, well, that's different.
I'd like to see the Republicans in the House. You know, the House is the place where an impeachment is brought.
Right.
Right? And it just takes, I think, a majority of House members to vote for an impeachment.
Mm.
Now, for a conviction, you got to get two-thirds of the Senate.
I think we've been well-versed on that a couple of times.
Have we not?
Yeah.
So do you think that they ought to impeach Biden at this point?
I don't know if they'll get enough. I don't know if they'll get enough and they'll have enough time to tell you the truth.
Yeah, I don't think they want to do it. But
at this point,
they got a lot more on Biden than the Democrats had on Trump when they impeached him.
What would be your end game on Biden? To get him out of office?
Yeah, I think he doesn't deserve to be there.
Who steps in next?
I know that, but he still doesn't deserve to be there. He's a traitor. She's an idiot, but he's both an idiot and a traitor.
Quietly, we all want the same thing, but quietly, we don't want that woman.
Yeah, I know, but so we should keep an idiot and a traitor in the office.
You know, I believe that's something that both Republicans, Democrats, independents, foreigners, whatever, can all agree that nobody wants Kamala Harris in office.
No, I agree with that.
Absolutely not.
Well, that may be one of the reasons they're not doing anything.
Even a man who's 80-some-odd years old and can't remember what he had for breakfast might be a better choice at this point than that hen.
I think the Republicans are just hoping that with enough publicity, there's no way that Biden gets reelected.
Oh, come on.
You know what I mean?
I mean, the way he's declining so fast, you can you imagine what he's going to be like in another 12 months?
Yeah, it'll be tough. Hey, here's something that will be of interest to you, Ed, because you're a radio man. America's love affair between the automobile and AM radio may be coming to an end.
Well,
it's on the verge of collapse.
Yeah, they stuck that out there, and there's a fight going on about, not really a fight, but there's been suggestions that certain vehicles, say these EVs, the electronic vehicles, are having problems with AM radio, and the driving by the stations, the frequency emitted from the electric vehicles is messing with AM stations, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? When it all comes down to when there's a natural disaster, like a hurricane or anything like that, guess what? Your phone does not work, and AM radio has always been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would hate to see it.
Yeah, happen. I don't think that happens. I really don't.
Well, I hope you're right. Automakers like BMW, Volkswagen, Mazda, and Tesla are removing AM radios from the new electric vehicles because, as you said, electric engines can interfere with the sound of AM stations. And Ford is taking a bigger step. They are eliminating AM from all of their vehicles.
You know what?
Or gas-powered.
When I drive by...
If that happens, that's a huge chunk of it.
But when I drive by, if you're saying it messes with, the AM, messes with your AM radio. When I drive by those power lines on an FM, and I'm on an FM and it messes with it, why don't we take those power lines down?
Mm-hmm.
Because I lose a signal when I go under those power lines all the time.
Yeah.
So let's take those down.
Yeah. Well, Ford apparently is going to take the AMs out even from gas-operated cars. Now, some station owners and advertisers contend that losing access to the car dashboard will be a death blow for AM radio.
Let's clarify that. That would no longer be a stock item, Paul. In other words, when you buy a car, you get stock.
Still request
then
it.
You add on, like... You cars not today. They're not going to come with an 8-track player or a cassette player. They're based not even a DVD. I don't think they even come with a CD player anymore.
Right.
It's all push in your thumb drive and play your favorite music. I mean, you have an option to put a specific radio type in that car. It might not be stock anymore. It might be a la carte.
Yeah.
So you're saying
that Ford might say, we're not going to have it in this car unless you specifically
drive.
Order it.
I drive a Ford right now. Ask me if my radio in my truck is Ford. No, it's Sony.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so you think that Ford will still have an option for AM radio?
I think so. And I'd be careful that we seem to keep cutting ways of. I don't know. I don't want to say protecting the country, but if you take AM, if you were to take AM radio away, you would take another avenue away from alerting Americans of some sort of a disaster.
Yeah. A lot of talk radio's on AM radio.
A lot of people love talk radio.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, a lot of people.
I know they do. I know.
I mean, you get tired of the same songs over and over again.
Right.
You're just slipping a nice talk show here and there. I mean, the Paul Molloy Show. I mean, Monday, Wednesday, Friday.
We have AM and
FM. That's right, AM, FM.
But I'm so happy that we have AM.
Sure.
I am. Hey, I grew up on AM radio. So
a lot of people did.
Sure. Well, let's keep our fingers crossed.
I mean, there's some stations that have both AM and FM like us. Mm-hmm. And then I'll be listening to the FM, and it's a horrible reception. I flip over to AM because the AM's stronger.
Yeah. It can. Yeah, exactly. All right. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, among other things, the top 10 greatest movie quotes of all time.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tantalk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
Hey, you new to the area or just want to know about the best hidden gems and upcoming events? Stay tuned. Be Local Buzz with Devin takes you to these places, introduces you to the best businesses, and tells you about upcoming buzz. Preset your radio to Tan Talk 1340 AM or 106.1 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. That is the Be Local Buzz with Devin on Tan Talk 1340 AM and 106 FM every Thursday from 4 to 5. Looking forward to speaking with you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final Monday segment of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, AM and FM, AM and FM, on the great Tantalk Radio Network. So glad you're with us. But if you can't listen live to us, thanks to Big Ed, all our shows are on podcast, which means go to our website anytime, OurFreedomWorks.com, O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Click on the podcast button. It's up there at the top, and it will open up to another page, and you will see all of our shows from the most recent show at the top on down. Ed's got them chronological for you. He also has who our guest is and the topic and our top 10, OurFreedomWorks.com. All right. So this is kind of interesting. A Democrat, a black Democrat, in the Georgia General Assembly angered her party by supporting school choice and a school choice bill. She says, "Why is no one fighting for young black minds? Why isn't that one of the things that we're fighting for?" Her name is, by the way, Representative Misha Maynor. She said, "I actually," and she said this to her her Democratic Party people, co-workers, "I actually say you're a hypocrite." That's what I tell them directly. "You are being a hypocrite. They are state lawmakers right now where their children are in schools that they're not even zoned for. They're lying about their address, state lawmakers, but they won't vote for this bill." In other words, the same people that won't vote for the bill are putting their kids in private schools and using vouchers.
Of course.
And that's the way. You know that Barack Obama, for all of his stance on public schools, you know that his two daughters went to private schools?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah. And I'm sure everybody and all of their kids, you know, the same with Bill Clinton and their daughter and everybody else with their kids. So all of this thing about, you know, supporting public schools and dissing, you know, vouchers in private schools, rather hypocritical.
Well, you remember all that stuff, too, about when we had the pandemic and everything, you know, the be safe and 6 feet away. And, you know, some of our lovely politicians were caught partying and yes. Masks off and all that stuff.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Even Dr. Fauci, yeah. Fauci was caught maskless quite a few times there.
Yes. So
it's whatever. They're
do
all
as I say, so, not as I do. Yeah, exactly right. All right. This is another kind of interesting story, speaking about what's going on in schools. A legion of University of Oklahoma donors have reportedly ceased payments to Oklahoma, citing the far-left biases and agendas. Now, Oklahoma is one of the most conservative states in the country, that I can tell you. The University Medical School created a, quote, diversity alliance, unquote, to ensure equity was incorporated at every level and aspect of the institution. So here's one of the alumni. He's a neurosurgeon named Christopher Boxell. He said, "I'm not happy with where they're headed. The diversity, equity, and inclusion agenda, I think, is better named DIE instead of DEI, because I think that's what's going to happen because of it." He said, "We should all be looking at his best qualified. I don't care which race they are from. If they are the best qualified, that's who should be there." In other words, just get the very best you can get. That's what you, especially when it comes to medicine and to doctors, right? Another example of the diversity, equity, inclusion agenda included professors hosting a workshop in which they discussed promoting anti-racism and rooting out problematic ideas. Another donor delivered a letter to the president of Oklahoma accusing the institution of promoting Marxism. So there you go. A lot of these alumni people, and they're the one, people will listen to the donors in these schools, you know? And if these donors start saying, look, let's start, you know, enough. We've had enough of this DEI stuff. Let's get back to getting the best people we can into this institution and doing the best we can to, you know, send them out. All right.
Hey, I got one quick story for you.
Sir, please.
Do you think by Friday you can come up with a nice, brand new, shiny penny? A penny. Can you find,
can I find a nice penny? What if I snuck home and cleaned one?
Okay. Bring a penny in Friday, and I'm going to take my penny. Now, our lovely local rag, the St. Pete Times, is having tough times.
Oh,
and there
yes.
is pun involved there.
Yes, I know that.
They are asking for donations. They're having a fundraiser. Asking for donations so they can pay their writers for all the wonderful leftist items that they have and the bashing of DeSantis, Trump, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So I figure what I'm going to do is I'm going to go down on Friday, the 490 First Street North in St. Pete, and put down a donation of 2 cents.
2 cents. That's very good.
That's
of you.
It. Mm-hmm. That comes from us.
Yeah, and they're both of those.
You don't spend it in the same spot.
For those of you that don't live in the Tampa Bay area, the Tampa Bay Times has two editions that come out that you can actually hold in your hand.
Is it two
Wednesday
now?
And Sunday.
Really? I thought it was three. So we had more cutbacks.
Yeah, it's been Wednesday and Sunday, as far as I know, for some time, actually. I used to get the thing delivered every day, you know, right on my driveway.
Do you still get that big Sunday thing with all the coupons? And...
Well, I go to the store and get it because I'm not having it delivered anymore. There are some people, believe it or not, that still get it delivered those 2 days.
People used to steal papers.
I don't want to tell you, but let's put it this way. If you go to the Publix grocery store, it's usually very easy to pick one up. What?
My first job was a paper boy.
Yeah, I was a paper boy.
On a bicycle.
I had a bike and I did the whole bit.
5 o'clock in the morning?
Yeah.
And then it got cold.
So
that job is done.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
I started in the summer and quit in the winter.
Yeah, I don't blame you. All right. Before we get to our top 10, Ed, how are our beloved Tampa Bay Rays doing in baseball?
We just got done with the New York Yankees and we did what I hoped for at least 2 out of 4, which is what we got.
We got two out of four.
Or okay. We lost 2 out of 4, however you want to look at it. And we take the night off tonight, and then there's the New York Mets in the 3-game series.
We're going to stay up in New York, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Are we still in number one team
still,
in baseball?
Still the best team in baseball, yes.
Wow. So we're doing good, huh?
They're losing games by going up by 6 or 7 runs and thinking, we got this game, pop a beer, you know, pull out the double bubble gum or whatever and start chewing. And look and behold, you give up a run here and a run here and a couple here, and all of a sudden they lose.
Oh, is that what's
so
happening?
They lost a couple that way. So, manager, got to tighten up and say,
tighten up. Maybe we got to get
some. When it's over, then we celebrate.
We win by 10. All right. That sounds good.
The other team doesn't like it, stop us.
All right. Here we go. Now, I know all of these quotes. I've seen all of these movies, Ed, and I'm going to tell you that most of these movies are 20th century movies.
If they're. You're saying black and white?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, lots of color.
It's in black and white, I'm out.
No, lots of color.
Okay.
But some of them are black and white, no question about it. And this, by the way, comes from the American Film Institute, who has decided what are the 10 most famous movie lines, right? So here we go. Number 10. I'm gonna do the quote, and I want to see if you know the movie, okay?
Got it.
All right, here's the first quote. Number 10. You talking to me? You talking to me?
I know it.
Well, I'm the only one here. You talking to me?
It's Robert De Niro.
Yes. You're right.
Goodfellas? No.
Good guess. Taxi Driver.
Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Travis Bickle in The Taxi Driver. All right, number 9. Fasten your seatbelts. It's going to be a bumpy night.
Well, I said that on Dr. Phil, but... I asked him, I said, is he got a seatbelt? And he said, no, there's no seatbelt.
Well, it's a black and white movie, by the way. It was Betty Davis in a movie called All About Eve in 1950. All right. Number 8. This one you're going to know. May the Force be with you.
Yeah, of course, it's Star Wars.
Star Wars, right. Obi-Wan Kenobi, 1977. Number 7. All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up. You probably don't know that one.
No.
Sunset Boulevard, 1950. That was Gloria Swanson.
You said no black and white.
I didn't say. I said there were color movies.
Okay.
You didn't listen. Right. You didn't listen. Number 6. Go ahead.
Make my day. That was Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
And that was...
I bet you don't know the movie.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
Make my day.
I forget.
Sudden Impact.
Sudden Impact. That's what I was.
Very good. No, that was close.
Filmed in San Francisco, by the way.
Yeah. Oh. He was playing Dirty Harry.
Yeah.
Number 5.
Boy, he's still kicking, too, you know?
He is. Number 5 is Here's Looking at You, Kid.
That's one of your older movies. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Do you know? That was Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca, the beloved Casablanca. Number 4. Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's easy.
Well, what?
Wizard of Oz. I mean,
all right, very good. Judy Garland, right? Dorothy. All right, number 3.
If I didn't know that, you'd have me committed for granted. Yeah.
Number 3. You don't understand. I could have had class. I could have been a contender. I could have been somebody instead of a bum, which is what I am. Let's face it. By the way, I did a great rendition of what he said.
When you said class, I was thinking of Rodney Dangerfield. Well, no, he asked a woman, will you go out with me? She goes, I have class. She was a teacher. He said, well, call me sometime when you have no class.
Well, this is Marlon Brando in On the Waterfront in 1954. Number 2.
Another black and white.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
The Godfather, which I've never seen those movies.
You've never seen The Godfather?
Oh, here we go. No, I've never seen him. You notice that whenever you say,
I've never seen the movie.
They ask you how many more times. What do you mean? You've never seen the movie? Never seen them. And I have them. I have all 3 of them.
You got to go and watch the movie. One of the, if not the greatest movie, The Godfather.
I have all 3 of them.
Anyway, that was Marlon Brando. Marlon Brando again in The Godfather. All right. Do you have any idea what the number one most famous line in Hollywood movie history would be? I'll give you a hint. I'll give you a hint. Clark Gable said it.
I'm out. I don't know.
All right. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Do you know what movie?
I should.
That's all right. That's Gone with the Wind.
Never seen it.
That was a color movie.
I've never seen it.
I want you to see Gone with the Wind. I want you to see Godfather 1 and Godfather 2.
Sounds a lot like homework.
And while you're at it, go back and watch Sudden
Impact. Why don't I go back and get my paper out and it'll be in the wintertime again, too.
While you're at it, go back and watch Sudden Impact and Taxi Driver.
I've seen Sudden Impact quite a few times.
Well, go watch it again. All right. Well, thank you all for being with us. We will be back on Wednesday. Be careful out there and remember that freedom works.
Moving straight ahead, you knew it all. But maybe.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.
And a happy Monday, Tampa Bay. Big Ed here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. Let's take a look at your Bay Area forecast. Look like it's going to be a hot one today. Close to 90 degrees in most of the area. Looking for a high this afternoon of 88 degrees. An overnight low tonight of 72. And tomorrow's high at 86. Could be some possibilities, some scattered thunderstorms later in the evening. Sunset this evening is at 8:14. Now, here's the latest of CBS News.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.